Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Ed and Steve Jordahl now joins us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
If you want to follow us on Facebook or YouTube, just type in Today's Issues, and you can also send us an email at comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net, and Steve.
Sir, welcome back.
Thank you.
We missed you last week.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate He's been it. Making up for it Good today.
Yeah, I did. I unleashed a couple of rants the last hour. That
been holding a lot of stuff in for the last week. A lot of stuff happened.
I went over here to and got me some oxygen.
There you go.
Over there in the corner, we got an oxygen machine because I needed it. But anyway, so much to discuss. What's going on in our country? And the latest is some on the political left in this country want to defund the police.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a majority of Democrat voters yet. I haven't seen evidence of that. But it's a growing movement on the left that is hard to fight against. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, what I haven't seen is anybody say what they're going to replace them with. Social workers? Dan Bongino was on Fox and Friends this morning and had some interesting things to say about that. This is cut three.
If this goes through, this defund the police abomination, it will be, and this is not hyperbolic, the single most catastrophic, deadly public policy decision we've seen in the modern history of the United States. Make absolutely no mistake about it. People will die. Think about the continuum of from low-level property crimes to murderers and terrorists, the message that sends to all of them. Go from the low end first. Why even bother paying the train fare? Jump in the turnstile. Just get rid of the turnstile. Who's going to pay? Oh, no, they'll pay because they're going to do the right thing. Really? What kind of a message do you think this sends to a murderer or a terrorist or a gang member or a drug dealer slinging crack on the corner of a neighborhood? Now that the police are gone, you think they're going to go to the local social worker?
Let me tell you what he's talking about, too, there is, and this applies to the human race. We're sinners.
Mm.
Huh?
Right.
Yeah. Every single one of us, the Bible says, are sinners with a bent toward evil. Are evil. Maybe that's too strong a word, but.
Toward sin.
Sin. Wrongdoing.
Yeah.
Sin is evil.
Yeah.
We're not all bent toward being Hitler.
That's right.
What I'm trying
right.
to say. But we're bent toward doing wickedness and sin. And all right. Guess what? I'll just have a confession for you here. If I'm on the highway and the interstate, and I've done this before, and if you haven't done it, God bless you. But you may know what I'm about to say. If I don't think that there are highway patrolmen out, I'm going to go 10 more miles over the speed limit than I would otherwise. That's the temptation that I don't always do it. But that's the way I think.
And the opposite.
And I'm a law and order, law-abiding citizen. And I'm supposed to be honest because I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to obey the law. But my mind says, oh, Tim, you can go 79. There's probably not any cops out here anyway because it's 11 at night.
But the opposite's true as well.
What is?
If you think there are cops out, you play it closer to the speed limit.
Sure I do, because I don't want to be pulled over.
Right.
And I don't want a ticket. So I have that is a fear of punishment for disobeying the law.
Right.
Okay. If you take away that from a city the size of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Or New York.
The fear that there's going to be a police, that's going to put handcuffs on me or arrest me. And you got people who are on drugs or who just are thieves, or it's going to be chaos.
We saw this the first couple nights of the protests, the looting and such. Right. That was because the police were inadequate to, unable to, or withdrawn from their policing duties, and there was no restraint. The looting.
I'm really surprised that they passed this in Minneapolis. I really am, because this is bad news for the Democratic Party in my opinion, in the sense that this is going to, if you're now, it's like the mayor there learned, if you're against defunding the police, then you're against, then you're for oppression,
right,
of police against.
There's no middle ground. It's also black and white.
Right.
And so, literally, and yeah, no pun intended, but.
Yeah. You're listening to today's issues on American Family Radio. We haven't talked about Drew Brees.
No, we haven't.
What did he do, Ed?
We did actually. We think
or Steve, maybe Steve's the newsman.
You're the newsman.
So Drew Brees tweeted out last week that.
Hold on a second. Tweeted. He did an interview.
Wasn't it? I'm sorry. You know,
It was an interview which I watched.
That's right.
Do we have that? His response. See if you can find, Adam, I shouldn't have put you on the spot like this, Drew Brees' original comments supporting.
We did play them last week.
You did?
I don't know if we still have them in the computer.
I'll just paraphrase. Drew Brees, the future Hall of Fame quarterback for the New Orleans Saints, he did an interview last week, and at the end of the interview, he was asked about kneeling during the national anthem in the upcoming season. You got it? The whole thing? Okay.
I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. Let me just tell you what I see or what I feel when the national anthem is played and when I look at the flag of the United States. I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II.
Okay, that was just part of what he said, Drew Brees. He also commended Dr. Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement. But yet he was saying, I cannot agree with people who don't respect the flag of the United States of America. I will never agree with them. Which is a very sensible way to feel about your country, right? Doesn't mean that. You don't think that there aren't, and he said this in part of the interview that he did, that there aren't problems that we can't work on, but he's not going to, he will never agree, what did he say, with anyone who disrespects the flag?
Right.
It took Drew Brees less than 24 hours to do a mea culpa. He was slammed by LeBron James and Aaron Rodgers, and other celebrities.
People on his own team.
People on his own team. It took him 24 hours to refute his own statement right there. Is that fair?
Oh, it was, yeah, less than 24 hours. He, two days in a row, and then over the weekend, his wife also said, we are part of the problem.
No, we are the problem.
We are the problem.
Meaning, white people?
Yes. This is Brittany Brittany Brees, who helps with Drew lead the Brees Dream Foundation. All these NFL players have these foundations that they put some of their money to good use, and she wrote a long, long post quoting Dr. King, and it started with "We are the problem."
Who's we?
We would be white people. She and Drew are white. You are the problem, Tim. It's getting to a point where you're seeing police officers, you're seeing white people on their knees in front of black people begging for forgiveness for things that they haven't done. Listen, I want you to listen. This is Tim Wise, is what I call him, is a woke white radical or a racial activist. He's a white man that speaks out against racism, which should, but I want you to hear what he has to say. This is his way of mea culpa-ing. Cut six.
I think the important thing for white parents to keep in the front of our mind is that if black children in this country are not allowed innocence and childhood without fear of being killed by police or marginalized in some other way, then our children don't deserve innocence. If Tamir Rice can be shot dead in a public park playing with a toy gun, something white children do all over this country every day without the same fear of being shot, if Tamir Rice can be killed, then white children need to be told at least at the same age. If they can't be innocent, we don't get to be innocent. And if we would keep that in the front of our minds, then perhaps we would be able to hear what black and brown folks are telling us every day and have been for many years.
I don't know what he's talking about.
White parents have to take the innocence away from their kids, because if black kids can't grow up in innocence, then white children shouldn't either. You should be telling your 5- and 6-year-old that they should be afraid of the police. To my mind, there is nothing in the world more precious, sacred even, than the innocence of a child. That is the only pure thing we get to see on this earth, it seems.
I want to get back to Drew Brees and his wife for just a moment, who they've been lauded for doing, and they've done his career here's there spans, what, 12, 15 years or so, I guess, or more, in New Orleans. And they've done tremendous charity work.
Right.
Drew Brees and his wife has in New Orleans. A lot of work in the inner city with African-American people. He got no credit for that. Huh? He got no credit for that. He only got slammed for saying that he was going to stand for the national anthem, and he didn't agree with not standing for the national anthem. Now, why did he fold so quickly? He would, by the way, if he were answering our questions here, he would say, "I didn't fold." Right? But he did do a mea culpa. He changed completely within 24 hours.
And it wasn't the first time either.
No, he did this. Yeah, he did this last year. Mm-hmm. He has a anyway.
And that was over Christian, over a video that he had filmed with Focus on the Family. This is talking about late last summer. It was for Bring Your Bible to School Week. And he was encouraging young Christians to be bold about their faith, to take their Bibles to school. Then he was told
he did a PSA for
did
that.
A PSA. Then he was told the Focus on the Family was a hate group, as according to the Southern Poverty Law Center. Drew Brees quickly took it all back. Said, "I'll never have anything to do with a hate group." So that was last year. This year, now with this, I think he would explain. Explained it this way, he would say, "Listen, some of my black teammates reached out to me. I didn't know that this is the way they felt. The flag represents a country whose police treat them this way, so I'm changing my mind." But what was raised in one of our meetings this morning is that Drew Brees is bordering on a huge contract with NBC to be a commentator to replace Chris Collinsworth, and some people are saying maybe there's more to his collapse in his opinion than just his teammates and others calling him. Maybe he's afraid he's going to lose this contract.
So is Drew Brees going to bow the knee for the national anthem,
even though
he says he can't do that because he loves his country too much?
He will have to. He has painted himself into a corner. If the NFL comes back and plays the national anthem at football games with players on the field, there's some talk that they would still have the national anthem. Players wouldn't come out until after that.
That's the best thing you can do is keep them in the locker room.
Keep them in the locker room. But if players are on the field while the national anthem is being sung, players will be, probably the majority of players now will be kneeling. Drew Brees will have to kneel, even though he made it clear that was disrespecting his grandfathers who fought in World War II.
And the flag.
And the
flag of the United States of America. He could not disrespect it. So you think he's going to go from hand over heart?
Yes.
To bow the knee?
Absolutely. If I was a betting man, I'd put a big fat $20 bill on that.
Okay.
And I'm not a betting man, and I don't have $20 to throw away.
I wonder how long you go on with this wokeness. So here's what Drew Brees should have done. He should have said, and I'm surprised, in a way I'm kind of surprised he wasn't smart enough to do this. And I'm not saying he's a dumb man,
right.
obviously, but I'm saying what he allowed to happen here, I'm assuming in Drew Brees' heart that he still believes that he needs to respect the flag, right? And what it stands for in the country, and he believes in putting your hand over the heart for the national anthem. I think that's where he probably is. Okay. But he did not do this. He needed to say back to LeBron James and these others, look, you're making me make a false choice. So the choice is either I bow the knee at the national anthem or I'm for police brutality against black kids.
Right.
that's the choice.
Yes.
And he needed to say, Drew Brees needed to say, that's a false choice. That's not a fair way to frame it. I love my country. I respect those in military who defend our freedoms and have defended our freedom. And so therefore, I will stand during the national anthem and put my hand over my heart. If others want to kneel, that's up to them.
Right.
And the only people that really matter then is what the NFL has to say, because I don't sign the paychecks
right.
of my teammates. My teammates know how I treat them every day of the year. If I was a racist or a bigot or believed in police brutality, don't you think that the black players who've known me for 20 years would have figured that out by now?
Right.
Huh? So, and the work my wife and I'm speaking to Driver here, have done in the inner city of New Orleans, does that not count for anything?
Right.
So don't try to make me kneel during the national anthem or else I don't care about the plight of black people in America.
Right.
So why he couldn't say that took me about a minute and a half or 2 minutes
right.
to say, why he couldn't say that instead of disavowing the position of standing for the national anthem with your hand over your heart.
I'll tell you why he couldn't say it. He was afraid.
A coward?
He was a coward. I'm sorry. That's what I think. And that's a quarterback who runs from 300-pound linemen, all right? But when it came to the fallout of what he was saying, and listen, there's far too many quote-unquote celebrity Christians, which athletes fall into that category, who are unwilling to risk their fame and their fortune to stand for what they believe. And there's a good Bible verse about that. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world? Will Addison said that in our meeting this morning. He said, what does it profit a man if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? Or in this case, you surrender your convictions on the part of Drew Brees. You can believe in more than one thing at the same time. You can believe this is a great nation, and you can believe it has problems that we need to work on. You can believe that I want to honor the flag for the good things it stands for, and at the same time say there's room for improvement. You can believe more than one thing at a time. But Drew Brees collapsed under pressure.
And in 24 hours.
In 24 hours. And he repeated it the next day, and then his wife was jumping in this weekend. And
basically saying white people are the problem.
Yes.
And using the expression systematic racism.
Yes.
I don't believe you can convert to the position that Drew Brees had to the position of saying there's systematic racism in 24 hours. I don't think you can intellectually go there. I don't think you can read. That's too big of a chasm.
Yeah.
So you're left with, well, why did he do it? He doesn't like criticism. He doesn't want to be criticized. And how do you not be criticized?
Which he showed, again, he showed that last year, the focus on the family public service.
Oh, yeah. So I don't. That's a real problem to me. You know what? I also don't like disparaging someone for their worst moments when they've otherwise lived a consistent life of good things.
That's a good point.
Okay, I don't like people who do that. I wouldn't want somebody doing that with me. So I'm not even though we spent the last 15 minutes disparaging him. I'm just saying, right?
Well, he's disparaging the country.
But we have to point out what he's done here, because he is a huge national celebrity, and he has yielded to the white supremacy narrative that's going on in this country. And you be careful where you go, my friend, because what Colin Kaepernick stands for is far beyond racial equity and the end of police brutality. What Colin Kaepernick stands for is Marxism. Read what the things that he says and does. He may have. I don't begrudge Colin Kaepernick even for making a statement about, or anybody wanting to hold police accountable for their actions against any black Americans. There's obviously a distrust in the African American community between black folks and the police departments. I mean, that's just, I can't fix that. I don't know exactly how you do that, especially in large cities.
Right.
And I'm sure there are reasons for that, that the people who hold that position could articulate. But I'm just saying, what Drew Brees has yielded to, he's gonna find it very hard to not say yes to everything that they demand that he stands for.
And they don't stop at one.
He's gonna have to not only kneel at game one, he's
game
gonna have
two.
To game all the way through the season. He's going to have to, because the minute he doesn't, they're going to say, hey, what's changed? How come you're not kneeling? He can't say, well, I think I've made my point. That's not going to be good enough.
No, that's what I'm saying. Once you give in to these folks in that way, he should have stuck with what I said.
You know what? If he really believed it, if he really believed that players should kneel during the national anthem with the flag there, you can take the pressure if you really believe it. Okay, you say this is my view.
So, what does he believe?
Who knows? What he said about his grandparent, his grandfather, fighting in World War II, that sounded like real conviction to me. I'm not going to disrespect the flag because those two guys, my grandfathers, fought in World War II. That sounded like real conviction. But if your real convictions can collapse that quickly, they can't be very strong.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. Steve, you got 1 minute.
Okay. The woke culture has hit our cartoons. So you won't be seeing Elmer Fudd going after the Wascally Wabbit with a gun anymore. They have de-armed him. He will now be chasing the rabbit with a scythe.
That's better?
Who knows?
You mean the thing that they used to use to cut?
Cut the wheat and, That's what I'm reading. I haven't seen. I saw a picture of him with an axe trying to go after the rabbit.
That's just completely silly.
I agree.
Huh?
I agree.
Bowie, quiet.
You know what? It is going to get comical what's about to happen in our country because, as I say, you can't out woke. You can't be woke enough. They're about to. I told my wife last night. You know, you're about to. KFC's probably going to quit advertising pure white breast of chicken, huh?
Oh, because the word white's in it?
They use dark meat now.
Right. I mean, it's about to get. No, they're going to cancel cop shows.
Yes, they're already talking
cop
about
cop shows. I'm talking about police shows are going to be at risk now on television. I don't know what the liberal actors are going to do when they want a paycheck. But, I mean, it's about to get nutty.
Yeah.
With this in our country. Steve, thank you.
My pleasure.
Ed, appreciate it.
Absolutely.
My thanks to Fred, Robert Jeffers, Adam Suddeth for producing the show. We'll see you back here tomorrow, everybody. Bye.